Y'all remember this?
Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me just get this off my chest, too.
Check this out.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And one thing that I'm not here for is let's do it to prove Joe Namath wrong. That is not a rallying cry.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Zach Wilson breaks the plane. The Jets score two.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long, Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams, Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, and now it's Rich Eisen.
My goodness, do we have a lot to get to here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It's one of those shows where, yes, we could do all 6 hours of a show as opposed to three, and one day maybe we'll do 6 hours of a show,
hey.
But until then, I have children. So there's lots going on here on this busy Monday, first Monday of October, 2023, folks. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program, live on the Roku channel, live everywhere else that's going on right here, on our program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Don't go too far. We've got Chris Long right here on the show. We also have none other than Devontae Adams of the Vegas Raiders is slated to call in right in the middle of this show. The Raiders season is now at 1-3. Adams got hurt in the game yesterday, came back in, and man, did the Raiders come close to beating the Los Angeles Chargers after beating up Justin Herbert a little bit. And then DK Metcalf, Monday Night Football tonight. So don't you miss any of that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this show. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. What's going on, sir?
Hey, Rich. I'm okay.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Rich.
Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, he can now proudly hold up his grease board once again.
Hello, everyone.
How about them Cowboys? Good to see you over there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Let's talk about Sunday Night Football. Let's get right into it. Because, you know, I don't know if you know, I've been talking about the Jets a lot lately, quite a bit. And the way that the Jets had been playing since Aaron Rodgers' Achilles blew up the last time that they were on national television, on TV, and for the whole country to see. This was way before Travis Kelce started dating Taylor Swift. And so it hasn't been great. It hasn't been great. And last night, it looked like the not-so-great Bob Jets were coming back and roosting for the entire country to watch them melt behind an unready, not ready for primetime young quarterback thrust into a spotlight that the Jets saw him wilt in last year and did everything in their power to make sure he would not be in again for the Jets in 2023 by going and get Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson, and the Jets down 17-0. And I believe I tweeted out at that point in time, texted all my friends. I'm ready to flex into darkness therapy out of this game. And so were, I'm sure, everybody else who was watching this thing. Because this thing was a wrap. And it looked like, once again, Zach Wilson was, in fact, going to get steamrolled by the defending Super Bowl champs. And that this thing was going to be over real fast. And then the Jets caught a break. The Jets caught a break, having a face mask penalty that was clearly not in the end zone completely, called as if it was, and then a safety. A gift, 2 points for the New York Jets. And they took that opportunity and started running with it, thanks to Zach Wilson performing in the way that I have been waiting to see him perform since they drafted him second overall out of BYU. This is what I wanted to see all along. The this being actual improvement. And that, you know, yes, Watson, we can hear you from the other room. The light is on. The telephone's working. This is actually what we wanted to see. An actual concept of playing quarterback in the manner in which the offense is calling for it. And yeah, comfortable enough to make some throws with different arm angles and different places to put it on your receiver's body because the defense is dictating it. And instead of sitting down in the pocket like he did against the Patriots, he was stepping up in the pocket. And he's stepping out of the pocket and escaping out of the pocket, not throwing it directly to a member of the other team. And playing under control and fast at the same time. And being a leader of this team. Where the hell's that guy been? And he could sit here and say all along within, he was there the whole time. It's just, we had to keep knocking on the door. And yeah, suddenly I feel good about things. And it's just one game, but it's against who it was against. And it was the audience it was in front of. And I'm not referring to half of, you know, music and TV and movie celebrities that were apparently in John Mara's box.
Deadpool 3.
Coming in theaters near you after Taylor Swift's movie. I pick up what you're putting down.
She's getting a cameo.
So, yeah. It was in front of the whole country watching the Net Jets melt down again. And I thought to myself, here come the boos. And here comes everything one more time. And where are the Jets going to go from here? Because Zach just can't do it when they need to do it. And then he did it. And to that I say, attaboy. And if it's because of everything else around him, you have to credit to everybody else around him. You've got to credit the head coach for going there to the podium and not making it seem like he's exasperated, not making it seem like he's out of options, because I'm sure deep down he was exasperated and we all know he's out of options. And Robert Saleh kept saying, this is the guy and we're going to rally around him. And then the Jets did that because he played worthy of rallying around. And then we've been wondering where the previous starting quarterback has been. And suddenly we have a new answer with a new drop on the Rich Eisen show.
Hey, Aaron.
Here, coach.
Thank you.
Yes, Aaron was there. By the way, doing stuff that you're not supposed to be doing as a 39-year-old that just had Achilles surgery. But that's for another day, how good he looked and how he was moving around. And he was up in the suite, by the way, because you don't want Chris Jones rolling into your crutches. You gotta keep away. So he's up there, and at one point, down 17-0, Rodgers looked like Peyton Manning watching bad football on the Manning cast with his hands up in the air, you know, and his arms on his head, because there were throws. The single flick, the flea flicker, not working. I texted Larry David saying the double flick's never going to work if you're going to get sacked on a single flick.
Sacked on a single
flick. It's what he did, because this is what was happening. So it turned and it changed. And if Rodgers showing up and telling everyone we're not pointing fingers and whatever gets in Zach Wilson's head, as I tweeted at this out too, that if he can help Zach Wilson turn things around and the Jets can start playing well behind him and make the playoffs, then Rodgers deserves his fifth MVP award without taking a snap. Other than four.
Five.
Yes. That's true.
Sorry.
But putting it all together, they didn't win at the end. They didn't win at the end, and moral victories don't count. I looked in the standings today. They don't exist. I don't see them. It's not win, loss, tie, and then M for moral victories, because if that was the case, the Jets would be 1-2-0-1 right now. Instead, they're 1-3. I don't know how the hell they beat the Bills that night, but they did, and they've lost three in a row, but this one is a different feeling to it. And part of the reason why, a large reason why, is because Zach Wilson crushed it and then, of course, suffered the crushing fumble at the end that gave the ball back to Mahomes and the Chiefs, who did Mahomes and Chiefs things, which is win the game, make the plays, got a break, again, with a holding penalty late in the game on somebody wearing green, allowing them to run the clock out. But, again, the Jets got some breaks early in the game. That safety that was a gift, a horse collar tackle, called on the Chiefs, even the goal, the guy brought the jet down by the front of his jersey. Okay, so Zach Wilson, after the game, did what he didn't do last year either, which is take responsibility for the loss, even though, this is weird, it's not really his fault. He's a young guy who took the ball off his, he took his eyes off the shotgun snap and unfortunately lost the fumble, lost possession, which led to losing the game. Here was Zach Wilson afterwards.
Yeah, it's on me. Critical situation. I can't have a play like that. I cannot drop the ball, and this team is sacrificing a lot. Guys were making plays. Defense was making plays. O-line was protecting. The receivers were making plays, and to be driving right there and to drop a snap, I cannot do that. I lost us that game, and I cannot do that. And I was making it clear to those guys that I need to be better. I need to be better on the little things, the details. It can't happen. It's not on the defense. It's on me. We had the ball with 6 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was left, and we're at midfield, and we had a chance right there. So I need to be better.
Man, oh man, oh man. Who is that guy? That kid who in New England said, "I'm not letting the team down." He's not walking through that door. Totally different kid. And hey, Zach, let me, since I've been talking to you through this microphone and this camera on radio and TV for well over a couple of years now, I'll just say to you, reason why the receivers were making plays and the line was blocking is because you were making plays. You were inspiring them with your play. And they will appreciate everything you did on the field and what you just said into a microphone. And the head coaches too. This was Saleh after the game talking about Zach Wilson. Hit it.
How would you assess Zach's play today?
I thought he was really good. Gave us a chance to win the game, brought us back. If he plays like that, we're going to win a lot of football games.
Damn straight. At Denver next week, bring your Gilligan's hats. So here we go. I'm just saying that this is good. I've been waiting for this. Oh, my God. Waiting for it. I know that's a Taylor Swift line. I'm not making that reference, please. I'm ready for it. I am. I've been ready for this for ever. Actual improvement, light on, taking responsibility, winging it around, making throws. He missed some. But I've never felt better about the Jets being 1-3. Fact. Now then, let me talk about the defending Super Bowl champs. If they're going to get 150 scrimmage yards from a running back, this is going to be a problem for the rest of the league too. Because God bless Andy Reid or whomever, I'm assuming, Nagy's part of this thing too, but we always give Reid the credit and it's got to be Mahomes also. They had to realize Pacheco was working. How many times have we seen Pacheco working and the Chiefs just stopped giving it to him? Many times. I've been waiting for a cowbell type game from Isaiah Pacheco. Or maybe it's because they were in New Jersey and he's a Jersey kid, played at Rutgers. This is his homecoming too. Oh yeah. Lost amongst the whole Rodgers is back, and that's Taylor Swift up there. This is a big day for him. And somebody realized that, and maybe it was all week that they realized that, and they put the bell cow on this kid, and he punked the Jets. He was terrific. 115 on the ground, 43 in the air, and a touchdown from damn near midfield. That's a different, like, Travis Kelce didn't beat the Jets last night.
He didn't do much of anything.
He had a good first drive to put three on the board, and then he kind of disappeared from the scene. The Jets took him out or what? Kadarius Toney had one big catch coming out of the backfield. there really was nobody else other than Mahomes backbreaking with some of his runs. This was the guy who got him through, Isaiah Pacheco. And let me tell you guys and everyone else, if this is the way they're going to start playing, then maybe the Chiefs are going to reinvent themselves again. No Tyreek Hill. Last year they reinvented. And this year it's the Mahomes and Kelsey show or Mahomes and Ma-Auto or whatever. By the way, I kind of dig that commercial.
It's pretty funny.
So, you know, whatever they're doing with Pacheco, I'd repeat that. That's a way you can beat a ton of teams. And that, with that defense that didn't have Bolton last night, you know, this is the Chiefs doing it again. And Mahomes, man. I mean, he is Steph Curry in cleats and pads, you know, with some Tiger mixed in. And he is that. He is him. He is the face of this league. And for good reason, he will break your back. He will crush you. And he did it again. He just absolutely did it again. And he slid down. I know he pissed off some people who's, I hope you weren't having hard-earned American Brockman dollars on the line that cost you.
Oh, no,
last night.
Lost everything last night because of that play. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Is that why you're a little grumpy today?
Not happy.
Okay.
I'm a little stuffy, too.
Okay, so are the, you know, so are the Jets defenders trying to stop Pacheco. Man, oh, man. I'm honestly sitting there going, fine. So tonight's the night they're going to finally knight this kid and say, go into battle. And just keep handing it to him and handing it to him and handing it to him. And at one point, the NBC broadcast, I think, rightfully put Beast Mode video up there. He kind of does look like him. He's got a long way to go, obviously, to be Marshawn Lynch. But, man, he is a load, and he runs downhill, and he breaks tackles, and he can take away your will. Who else from that team can take away your will? I just told you, Mahomes and Kelsey, those are will takers. We're just like, again, really? We know we're supposed to stop you. We can't. And they used to have Tyreek Hill do that. And they still won without it last year. And you kind of got the sense through the first few weeks, where's that extra one coming from? Is it Chris Jones too? Man, I saw that last night and I'm like, what a difference maker for them.
Rich, I feel like it's one thing to have someone take your will when it's a pass, right? Or a Mahomes run. It's a whole other thing when you got a guy who's running full speed and just lowers the shoulder into you.
And can go get you.
Man,
that's
what Pacheco did.
He did it last night. One last thing. I want to talk about the officiating. Oh. Boy, when I came on the air and I'm like, there's so much to talk about. There's so much to talk about today. I want to talk about the officiating. Because again, if you're just tuning in now or you're watching later on the old YouTube or the Rich Eisen Show Collection video on demand page on our Roku, I have fully come out and said, Jets got 2 points. I don't think they should have had. I don't know why somebody grasping the face mask in the end zone is not something reviewable to see if the end, you know, if is it the grasping of the face mask at first, because if it is, that happened outside the end zone. If it's the twist of the face mask, that did happen in the end zone. Is that the foul, the twist? And I know Terry McCauley came on the air, the NBC rules analyst said, yeah, I kind of agree with that. It's a twist. And the Jets got a gift first down on a horse collar tackle that wasn't a horse collar tackle. It was a collar tackle. Mm. The horse is in the back. What is that? The carriage in the front? I don't know what it is. The party is like a mullet?
Well, it's a party in the back.
Party in the back.
Business in the front.
So it's the business in the back. It's the party in the front,
right?
I guess, for a horse collar. So not perfect. But again, at the end of the game, Mahomes 3rd and 22. I mean, just look at the bottom of your screen. Look at the bottom of your screen. You could see the stud defensive and Jermaine Johnson, basically, not only his left arm is held. The reason why he's not raising his left arm to say, hey, I'm being held is because it's being held. His right arm, he's basically waving like a fair catch. Hey, refs, I'm here being totally held.
Somebody
watch this. I've never seen a fair catch, a fair holding call by a defensive end. waving his arm to say, hey, do you see this over here? Maybe you're not seeing it. Oh, wait a minute. You should, as Mahomes runs scot-free, passed. And then the call on Sauce Gardner. I'm telling you, I'm not an all 22 guy. I'm not a tape head. But if you broke down the way Sauce Gardner plays defense, I think you'd be seeing the way he played defense on Valdez-Scantling a lot. And you'd see that on a ton of great corners. Diggs before he got hurt, just any great corners. Name it. You could call that pretty much every time. And the flag comes out after the interception or as the pick, the ball is being picked and the Jets get the ball back. They could have had it down three with a few minutes to go. Instead, it's a hold on an all-pro corner. It's not just any jamoke you're calling this on. An all-pro corner. I don't know if Sauce has had another penalty of that nature called all year to this point. So Robert Saleh, by the way, waited till after Mahomes slid. He waited until after Mahomes slid to go all ham on the official. He was barking at the official quite a bit in a way that you don't see Saleh do. But then he went the across the line when the 15-yarder meant nothing, I think, not just to get it off his chest, but to show everyone as well that he's fighting for the team. And I did see some post-game comments from some Jets players saying he's got our back, which is great. This was Saleh after the game, though, when he was a little bit more reserved.
Talk about the holding call on Sauce Gardner.
I'm not going to comment on that. I already
did it. What you're upset about when you called for the penalty?
There was several times where Jermaine Johnson looked like he was very much being held by the offense, despite there not being any penalty. Do you have any thought on that, or did you see anything?
I have a lot of thoughts on it, but I'm going to stay quiet.
Man, I thought he... I would have, you know... It's not my money. I would have gotten my money's worth there, too. But you need the officials to call it straight up when you're in Denver and then you're home against Philly before your bye. But man, what a bummer. Like, I get it. And I'm sure Eagles fans are like, tell us about it, Rich. What happened to us against the Chiefs? And, you know, Bradbury, you could see the Juju Smith-Schuster jersey being held. I saw your tweet where you're like, that's a hold, Chris. You think it's a hold.
And he turned him.
The number of times I'm sure that Sauce Gardner turns people and every Pro Bowl or All-Pro corner turns people and there's no flag because that's an All-Pro move that has basically not been called. Why now? Why then?
Well, the officials were kind of bad for
insane.
Both teams last night. It's a 50-50 call. That's kind of a bummer. Didn't go your way, but it's a 50-50 call. And it got called last night. And did it cost you the game? Probably not.
Well, it did.
But...
How did it cost us an opportunity to tie it? That's for sure. Or the Jets, not me. I wasn't suited up. I was sitting at home trying not to curse in front of my children.
I mean, to quote the great Steve Mariucci, a bummer.
When we come back, we'll talk about Bailey Zappe and the New England Patriots and what Bill Belichick had to say about that in relation to the Dallas Cowboys looking pretty darn good. The Bills, I mean, just showed everyone maybe a little bit what you can do to a Miami Dolphins offense. The Eagles, perhaps the most criticized 4-0 team I've seen in a long time. And then there's also what went down with the Bears and the Broncos. Chris Long will be joining us. We've got your calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. DK Metcalf prior to tonight's game. Devontae Adams slated to call in. Overreaction Monday. Oh, and the NBA is lit as we currently speak as well. That's all still to come here on this show. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am. Boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Mama Kelsey. Donna Kelsey, one of our favorites. We got to meet the Kelseys at the Super Bowl on our program. Her day, quite a day. We saw her again last night with T-Swift.
Do we need and Adam again. Schefter giving like minute-by-minute updates?
Probably not. Probably
all
not.
All right.
But I'm not gonna.
Strange
first
use
all,
of
just,
time.
By the way, first of all, again, I obviously when people get overexposed in our nation, we feel the need to, you know, push back or enough's enough or whatever. I will never feel that way. Taylor Swift is a lord in our house, or a god in our household. And she's awesome. I love her music. I think she's great.
Does she need to be the NFL Twitter banner photo?
Hey, she's insanely popular. And the fact that the weird. NFL is all the way in on it, I don't blame. She brings an audience that the NFL, I'm sure, has been trying to reach, trying to crack. It is, and Travis Kelce is one of my favorite people. He is A++. If this makes him happy and happier and actually lends to a better life for him, love it. It's awesome. You know, that said, the fact that we had more cutaways than Jets had, you know, snaps at one point during the game last night, as a Jet fan, I wasn't terribly happy. I'm not going to lie, but
yeah, I'm talking about the coverage.
I get it. But Donna Kelce getting to live her life like that, that's Taylor Swift. I mean, my goodness. And then maybe this might make you even more jealous, as Jason Kelce tweeted out earlier in the day. I also have a superstar in my corner, Jake from State Farm. And chicken fingers and ketchup, by the way, which is, I don't know if what my daughter loves more or Cooper loves more. Well, Cooper loves chicken fingers and ketchup more than he would love Taylor Swift. But chicken fingers and Taylor Swift, that might be my daughter's
ketchup,
favorite.
Ketchup, no good. Barbecue sauce.
Got it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We're sitting on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainge. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Told you not to be worried about your Cowboys. Told you. That they punched down on the Cardinals and got hit right back in the mouth. And lost. And if you're coming into a game, and by the way, kudos to Josh Dobbs, too. Because if you're coming into a game with an offense that's struggling behind a quarterback that has a possibility to struggle, Cowboys are going to feast. Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, now Mac Jones. They're equal Jones-abusing individuals.
Well, if you want a get-right game, just play the Patriots.
Well, I wish that had worked for the Jets the week before, but it didn't. And, you know, Mac Jones with pick six on his brain all over the place and turning it over. And it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. And the Cowboys offense, when they are clicking and they are making, they're calling plays and Dak is in a rhythm, they are really tough to beat. Their issue is how good is that going to be, say, next Sunday night against the 49ers? How good is that going to be in the two times against the Philadelphia Eagles front seven? And how's it going to be for this defense against a quarterback that's not named Jones or Zach Wilson, playing like Zach Wilson played in the 2022 Zach Wilson showed up in Dallas, you know, for the most part. I'm sure the Jets deep down will tell you that what we saw on Sunday night against the Chiefs was born in part by the first three quarters of that game, but that's for another day. That's the issue for the Dallas Cowboys, is when they are going to play somebody that is standing in their way of an NFC Championship game appearance for the first time since the mid-90s, how are they going to do? Sunday night in San Francisco, with the way that the Niners are playing, that's what it's going to be all about. Now, that's the test, because the Niners, with all due respect, they're going to be the ones punching down. I had the Niners number one on my power ranking this past week, and I am pleased to say I think this past weekend's events bore that out. Certainly when the Cardinals are showing, once again, they are not tanking. But what are the Patriots going to do from here on out? Because Mac Jones came out of the game, and Bill Belichick said it's just to get him out. Just to get him out, because he thought the game was over. Bailey Zappe, as we all know, got released in training camp as either a roster sort of massaging maneuver, or clearly they're having, if you will, open tryouts to see who can take over the second spot there behind Mac Jones. But you got to wonder, you know, what do you do moving forward? Is Matt Judon, it looks like, has a torn bicep that they're going to determine if it's season ending or not? He's their best defensive player, with all due respect to everyone else out there. Here was Bill Belichick on taking Mac Jones out of the game and Mac Jones' status moving forward.
Bill, what led to the decision to take Mac out with 3:41 remaining in the third quarter?
Yeah, I don't think there was any point leaving him in the game.
And will he be starting next week against the Saints?
Yeah, just so there's no point leaving him in the game, Mike.
In that sense, I mean, did you think, consider taking, like, no. Judon out on the other side, or, you know, like, at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to put somebody out there.
So, Bill, was he benched for bad performance?
No.
Or was he
no, was... I said there was no point in leaving him out there, so I took him out.
Today is when because Belichick turned down the opportunity to say he can't turn the ball over like this, and, you know, some of the other Patriots players did say that. Today he mentioned about the turnover issues that Mac Jones had. But I'll tell you, man, it's the same thing with the Jets. I mean, you have no other option. I mean, it's going to be Mac Jones against the Saints.
Yeah.
You don't have an option. There's no other option.
There's no other option. But the season's over. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. So what are we doing?
Trying to win football games. He's one win shy of 300 regular season wins.
Great. I don't know when that's coming. It's pretty bleak. And now... And now Matt Judon's out, maybe the rest of the season, your best defensive player. And the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month, Christian Gonzalez, who in a redo of the draft might be a top five pick, he's out now for an undisclosed amount of time with a shoulder injury. So it's going to get a lot worse, Pats fans.
New England's got a home date with New Orleans at Vegas, home for Buffalo at Miami. Oh, boy.
Yeah, there are no wins right there.
And I'll tell you what, I think you can win home for New Orleans and then at Vegas. These are winnable games. They just played terrible. Because you know why? Because the Dallas defense is going to punk your quarterback. And the question is, how do you handle it? And the Giants and the Jets and the Patriots, sort of the Amtrak Northeast Corridor, didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, but if you're getting blindsided and you're not protecting the ball, the worst defense of the league is going to force that fumble. If you're throwing it clear across the field,
yeah, it's bad
the
decisions.
Worst defense in the league is going to pick six that. So it's not just as great as Dallas's defense is, it's just poor decision-making on Matt Jones and the inability to make a play when he needs it the most.
And the issue is for New England, and obviously the Jets at 1-3, at least the Jets...
At least there's one light.
Win. Well, at least the Jets' one win is a home win against a team that's now in first place.
Sure.
In the AFC East. And that right there, man, this is proof. The Bills are proof. This past Sunday's Bills win against Miami, absolutely dismantling the Miami Dolphins, absolutely taking Tua to task in a way the first three opponents for the Dolphins could not, did not, absolutely barnstorming this Miami Dolphin team on defense is proof how quickly things can change in the NFL. For anybody. For you with New England, for me with Zach Wilson and the Jets, I think last night for the Jets kind of proved that things can turn around. And I'm not just talking about the way the Bills season started and then it took them some time for about a quarter and a half to start revving their engines against the Raiders and then what they did to the Commanders in telling Sam Howell, you know, this is the way things work in the National Football League. And maybe out of that fiery baptism, we saw Sam Howell in Philadelphia yesterday. But the Dolphins 3-0, the Dolphins 70 points against the Broncos, the Dolphins doing it against New England, which tried to box him in a red zone and then couldn't stop the run. The Dolphins against the Chargers in a track meet in week one, rightfully being thought of as the best team in the AFC through 3 weeks. Now they're not even in first place. 3-0 to second place in four quarters. And the Bills go from 0-1 to 3-1 in first place in the AFC East. Now heading off to London, I'm calling that game Bills and Jaguars in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Sunday. And this guy, Matt Milano, we got to start talking about him for Defensive Player of the Year, don't you think? I mean, you got to start talking about him in the same way that you're talking about everyone else that's Defensive Player of the Year worthy. Am I wrong?
No.
Okay, and this guy, he may not have the stats of T.J. Watt, or he may not have the stats of Khalil Mack, who went from zero sacks to tied for the league lead in sacks of 23.
Almost set a single game record.
Talk about things turning around so quickly. But this guy, 1,000,000%, is the hub and the nexus. It all runs through him. The energy, he brings the wood every time. And Trey White going down again. And it's not confirmed yet, but they do fear the dreaded Achilles.
Looked bad.
And hopefully he can get speed bridged himself. But this looks like, once again, we're going to be talking about a Bills defense the rest of the year saying, yeah, if Trey White was only there, it does look like they're going to get Von Miller back soon. We may even see him in London this coming weekend. Trey White going down is the ultimate bummer. The only, for the lack of a better phrase, you know what, in the Bills punch bowl from yesterday, because they punched the hell out of the Dolphins. And I think we can now, through 4 weeks, put to rest what, yes, I was talking quite a bit about in the summer. I even brought up with this subject matter to Josh Allen leading up to the first game for the Bills on the Monday night against the Jets. Can we put to bed that Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen are not on the same page? I think we need to put that to bed. He said it was the same word they were on. Win.
Win. Winning.
Oh, my God. Gabe Davis's catch and touchdown passes. James Cook and Damian Harris and Latavius Murray. They're working it. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Josh Allen doesn't have to run it in for them, but he's done it 2 weeks in a row because he can. Because he can. And it's not one of those like taking 15 hits, pinballing his way to the end zone. He's just walking in because everybody's back is to him and he's just walking through. So that was quite the day, and Miami can't win them all. You're not the 72 Dolphins. And the 70 Dolphins from the previous week didn't show up because they got Tua off the spot. Or here's the thing. If Tua doesn't get rid of the ball in like 2-3 seconds,
so fast,
that's that. It's kind of crazy. That's a version of a play breakdown for the Dolphins. If he's not hitting back foot and ball's not gone,
yeah,
and he's holding on to it, and he's going, like, where else am I going?
Yeah.
That's officially a play breakdown. Yeah. The way you're scheming, they're trying to scheme it to get it out. You're now causing him to have a play breakdown, and that's their version of breaking down their play.
Tyreek Hill had, what, 3 catches for 60 yards?
Jalen Waddle's first catch was lucky it wasn't a pick. It was bounced up in the air, and he caught it. So
HN looks good.
That's how things – he sure does. And by the way, the Dolphins are going to be a playoff team and a Super Bowl contender in the long run. I'm just talking about how wild it is. 3-0, 70 points. And we were talking about them because it is a wild story. And they were, coming into this game, the hottest team in the AFC, not just because they were undefeated, just the way that they were playing. And it just shows you division games on the road are very, very tough to win, which is why it's great for the Ravens to have a couple of them now in their back pocket moving forward as they're in first in the AFC North. You know, and the Cowboys have one in their back pocket having beaten the Giants already. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff you need to see. You need to get. The Lions had one last Thursday night in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur on tomorrow's program. So, yeah. You know, it's pretty wild how things can change in the NFL. I think we all learned that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Right in the middle, just like Super Bowl week. You know, right in the middle of Super Bowl week. last year in Phoenix, remember that? The NBA crashed the party.
Yes.
That happened over the weekend as well.
Yeah, dude.
And we'll hit that. As Brockman, you might be upset about your Patriots.
Oh, football season's over. We're on to basketball, baby. Let's
wow.
go.
Did the Celtics get better over the weekend?
Disgusting. I'm already mad at basketball.
And you're still focused on the Cowboys season as the Philadelphia 76ers.
Focus on football. I got basketball.
All right. We'll take a break on that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. Chris Long coming up next hour as well.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Would you be able to give an NFL team a good 15 scripted to start a game, Larry? Could you really do that? Really? You think so?
Not now.
What do you mean?
I would need to study it.
Okay.
I would need to, go down on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to just talk to the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to take a little course on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no doubt in my mind that I could do it.
What would you be? Would you be a passing offense, a running offense? What would you be? What would you be?
A lot of trickery. Yeah. There'd be a lot of trickery.
Playground style.
A lot of trickery.
A lot of trickery.
Here's what I would be doing.
Yes.
I would be setting up the defense. Okay, I'm going like this, and now I'm coming back for the pass, okay? So I would do that a couple of times, and then the third time, I would go like this. I fake I go, and then zoom down. Zoom down.
And so that play's called the zoom down play?
That would be a zoom down, yeah.
So like double, triple, quadruple moves.
Yes, yeah, setting them up. I'd be setting up everybody. That's how I would plan my offense.
A lot of decoys, a lot of setups, a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
And then at some point, there has to be a play that actually works.
There'd be many plays to work. They're being set up all over the place. They're not even going to know what's going on. They're going to be so confused. Come on. Sounds good, right?
It does, yeah.
It sounds good.
You're hired.
Sounds
you're
good.
Larry David.
I'm available.
There you go. Larry David here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm available. Robert Saleh, I'm available.
Indeed. the great LD. All of his appearances sit on our YouTube page, youtube.com/RichEisen Show, that had over 26 million views in September. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platform. Do it tonight. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me for Seahawks and Giants all season long on Monday night for free. Get in the zone with AutoZone. What makes AutoZone's America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries, and they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Strong pause.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Long will be on the program in hour two. DK Metcalf, hour three. Overreaction Monday coming up. So it was during our program just late last week. I was ready to opine on something in, I believe, if I can recall, most erudite fashion. And you, Chris, were going, whoa! And I'm like, what's up? And
yeah.
It was Damian Lillard being traded, three-team trade between the Bucks and the Suns and the Blazers. And in that trade, the Blazers, amongst a handful of items from the two other teams that were involved, they get Jrue Holiday. And that one kind of stuck out. Like, what's up with that? How's it going to work? Or as everybody who covers the NBA for a living was like, yeah, he's not staying. And that was another player to flip for Blazers general manager Joe Cronin. And boy, did he flip Jrue Holiday. It appears that the Blazers general manager wasn't done trying to affect the competitive balance of the Eastern Conference of the National Basketball Association, sending Damian Lillard to the Bucks, and then I guess to be fair and balanced, he sends Jrue Holiday to Boston. So,
yes. Just great.
Yes.
Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And just when you thought you're going to miss Marcus Smart, because who's going to be the one delivering the basketball? Who's going to be one running the point? How does Jrue Holiday sound to you?
Sounds great. Don't forget, Kristaps Porzingis, fully healthy right now. Derek White.
Yeah.
Playoff hero last year.
Yeah. And that's who
Horford's back.
They flipped for Porzingis, and you lost a good defensive point guard. How good a defender is Jrue Holiday?
One of the best.
That's correct. So, okay. Wow. So
we need to just fast forward. Let's just get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's get to May.
Well,
Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure.
Jrue guarding Dame, if he's there. You know, hasn't been healthy recently.
Okay.
Jrue guarding Dame. Let's go.
I'm sure the Heat are raising their hand saying, don't forget us as the 8 seed. That'll be dangerous.
That boo friggin' who.
So, man. And then you got to give it up to Joe Cronin, Portland Trailblazers general manager, with Dame Lillard finally tapping his wrist to say it's Dame time to get my my you know what out of here. Finally out of Portland. You're finally out of Dame time. And he sits and he waits and he's like, yeah, we're talking with Damian. We're all happy. You know, happy here. And then when he's not happy, well, we understand he's not happy and handling it beneath the radar. He gets Lillard out of the conference. And he gets in exchange somebody he can now flip for other pieces and put up on the screen what he got. He got DeAndre Ayton, Robert Williams, you got Time Lord and Malcolm Brogdon, Tumani Kamara as well. He also got, in these trades, he got a 2024 Golden State Warrior first that's top four protected, and then stuff that anybody who is deep into the NBA will consider significant. A pick swap, an unprotected first for the Bucks in 2029, an unprotected first from Boston in 2029. So there are some kids right now currently playing in high school that might be really good for the Blazers when the decade turns, yeah. Right? And then a pick swap in 2030 from Milwaukee. So I think I know the answer to this. TJ, unfortunately, you as a Clipper fan, hoping for hope against hope that Damian would wind up there, or he's Sixer fan hoping that Damian would wind up there. Now hearing that Harden is gone or wants to be gone, he's not at media day right now. No surprise there.
No,
I think you will admit, Chris, I know you will definitely agree with me. No shot Cronin gets all of this if he just trades him straight up to the Miami Heat.
For Tyler Hero and a bunch of picks?
No.
Like, what are we doing?
No
this is
shot.
A massive haul for Portland to rebuild around Scoot and Jerami Grant and some of these other guys, Ayton.
For one player.
For one guy.
Who's really great.
They did about
Hall
as
of
good
Famer.
As they could have.
But an older, player, Dame's 33 with a big, huge, fat contract. You're able to unload that, a guy who wanted to move on. Doesn't go to the spot he wanted to go to, but goes to a title contender. And now you can rebuild with all these pieces. Genius move.
And sit back as you watch potentially an Eastern Conference Finals between these two teams saying, yeah, I created that.
Yeah, it's great.
I generally manage the Eastern Conference as well. Not bad. And you get Lillard out of your conference. And the Suns are winners too, man. Your Ayton issue is solved. You get Lillard out of the conference too.
Right.
And you get some really good players for your first full year with Durant and the rest of the crew.
And then they got Bradley Beal too, right?
Well, yeah. That was the first.
And so they have a
you know, fired
big,
shot
big
of the
three as well
of the offseason.
NBA is going to be hot, man. It's going to be great.
And by the way, the Nuggets might still be the best team.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, losing Bruce Brown is definitely going to hurt them, but they're still strong.
Oh man! Congrats to the Blazers fans. You're no doubt disappointed that Lillard's not going to be there forever, but I think you knew that the time was up. You're all looking at your wrist as well. Your general manager crushed it. I mean, I'm assuming this will all work out, but you never know. This is way better than just a straight up one-to-one trade. Let's do a three-way. Let's get Lillard out of the conference. Let's get another significant piece I can flip for more significant players and picks and swaps. Chris Long coming up, hour three, hour two coming up. And then, you know, media days kind of en fuego.
So much what happening
Jimmy
in the
NBA. Jimmy Butler showed up as a character Evo, right?
He's emo.
Emo? Is that what it is? Emo?
Oh, yeah. He's got, what, three lip piercings, a nose piercing, an eyebrow. He's got the...
The long hair?
I don't
hair.
Even know what you call that, TJ. What is his hairdo called?
I mean, he looks like a 70s player.
Yeah. So straighten.
And by player, I don't mean basketball player.
He's straightened his hair out. Yeah, it's something.
All right.
But he does this every year, so his headshot for television looks a little goofy.
Oh, so this is going to be the headshot on TV from now on?
Yeah, so remember last year he came in with the super long braid extensions, and then he's done different looks in the past.
Okay.
And then tomorrow he'll go back to normal.
Okay. By the way, I bid on his saying that there was tampering. I tweeted that out. I'm like, how is it tampering if Lillard got traded? People are like, he's being facetious because the league is the association's accused Miami of tampering and stuff like that.
Oh.
I took the cheese on that.
Yeah, that's why I was like, no, he's making it.
I know, I didn't get it.
I mean, who knows?
I'm doing too much.
You can't tell with him.
This is my problem.
You
I should stop. I should
joke.
Stop. I made a problem. You know, I had a problem where I retweeted a fake account about Kyrie Irving when I walked out of the Hofbrau House all drunk last November.
Be careful. You're going back overseas.
I know.
We care about you.
I gotta realize I'm marathoning. I should stop sprinting or drinking.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams. If you ask me to call
right
my
now.
Shot, this
right
is
now.
The Overreaction
call
Monday
shot.
Podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.